Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
I must thank Andrew Little this week for accommodating my mishaps into his schedule. I was stuck on horrible Dominion Road traffic, crawling down, going, I know I'm going to be late. But as he said to me before, before this interview, that's why we need light rail on Dominion Road. Anyway, this week we covered a number of topics, including gun legislation, National's welfare proposals, and conversion therapy.
Firstly, Select Committee submissions on the arms legislation have been continuing this week. How's that all been going?
Look, as far as I know very well, I know that some of this is contentious to some of the firearms owners. In fact, I'm sure to meet somebody from that community in New Plymouth. But the reality is we've had long-standing problems with the accessibility to firearms to people who shouldn't be having them. And we've got, that they are a risky device to have. We need to make sure that our regulation of them is up to the mark, and at the moment it's not.
I've seen some criticism that no New Zealand First MPs showed up to the committee. Is that a sign that they might not be on board with this legislation anymore?
No, this legislation has come through pretty intensive negotiations between all parties in government, including New Zealand First. And they've got some of their members who come from the gun-owning community. It's been through there. It's been agreed to and signed off. So they're totally signed up to it. We all agree in government that there are issues that we have to deal with in terms of accessibility of firearms to people, and that's what we're trying to address through this legislation.
And surely one of those issues is that you're simply not getting enough guns, are you? You're going to need to get over 4,000 each day for the next 50 days or something like that to get rid of the number you want. Isn't that a problem?
No, because look, no one really knows what the number is. There were kind of some crude estimates of what could be out there based on, and I remember looking at the time thinking this is all highly speculative. In the end, look, it is the amnesty is what the amnesty is. We're collecting what we're collecting. I imagine, and we all expect there'll be a surge towards the end of the process, because the reality is if after the conclusion of it, people are found in possession of firearms they're not lawfully entitled to be in possession of, then the penalties will be much, much greater. So there are some who are resistant to it, but many of those will come on board by the 20th of December.
Do you think if you had waited and not rushed this legislation through that you might have been able to come up with a system that would lead to more guns being handed in or collected?
No, I think the experience overseas shows a pattern. It doesn't matter how long a period you have. There's a pattern. There's the early kind of people who get involved and do the right thing. There's a dribble in between, and then there's a sudden surge at the end. And whether it's a 6 month, 9 month, 12 month, 24 month process, actually the pattern is the same. So this is about dealing with a problem. Look, I mean, part of the challenge is that the police tell us that every day, somewhere in a call out or in executing a search warrant, they have been confronted with unlawfully owned firearms, and we have to, for their safety amongst others and the community safety too, we have to get on top of the issue.
Yesterday, the National Party released some potential welfare policies for next year's election. It felt a little bit, a little bit like what we'd sort of expect from National in the lead up to an election. Is there anything there that you could see Labor supporting?
Well, I haven't had a close look in detail. I've seen what I've seen in the media. It is, but deja vu all over again, and it is the kind of the trial buttons that they push of gangs and beneficiaries. The beneficiary stuff is the most insidious, I think. The Māori Party that did the right thing some years ago, and they made a big sort of boost in terms of benefit payments, because the reality is there are a lot of people who are living in poverty on benefits and not getting the help and support they need. That's what's driving a lot of problems that we've got. So, and the stuff on the gangs is, look, it's easy to sort of just charge around and say, yeah, we're going to get tough on gangs. You've got to say what you're actually going to do. The reality is, and partly I would say because of their policies, we know that the way we've shoved more and more people into prisons, that's become a major recruiting ground for gangs. And of course, it's not just while folks are in prison, not even for those who are in prison. Once they get their hooks into you, they effectively colonise families, whole whānau, and they become kind of part of the machinery of those gangs. That's the problem that we've got, and one of the activities they're most engaged in is driving the meth trade. So you've got to come at it from all those angles. We're probably always going to have gangs. What you want to do is make sure that members of the community are safe, actually that they are safe, and that their unlawful activity that they're engaging in is dealt with smartly. I don't see anything that the National Party has put up that is about addressing those issues.
On the beneficiary side, you say that the policy suggestions are a bit insidious, but I mean, we've seen an increase in people on the JobSeeker benefit in the last year. Shouldn't we be getting a bit tougher on that?
It's not about tougher. People on the JobSeeker benefit for a reason. There's high churn and some power for the labour market, and you want to make sure that we're doing our best to create an economy where the sort of jobs that are being created are not the kind of the short-term casual jobs, but longer-term jobs that require a bit of skill, and therefore, we've got to put the investment into that. So that's what we're doing. We're dealing with people whose early experience of the labour market is to rapidly pass in and out of it, and we want to try to stabilise that. So that's what we're in the process of doing. Just saying, getting benefit numbers down. You've got to understand what that actually means. And you've got to have more than just, we're coming to get tough on the benefit system. You've got to have the mechanisms around there that means that people do get opportunities, can take advantage of them, and can lead fulfilling lives.
But if the numbers of people on that benefit are increasing, how can those mechanisms be seen to be in place if they're just simply not working, are they?
No, I disagree with that. I mean, we've got programs like Mana and Mahi, which is about taking those people who are kind of in the labour market. They tend to be in and out of it because they never get a chance. No one ever invests in their skills and their upskilling. So that's a program about putting people on good, decent training programs, lifting their skill level, getting them doing things, basic things like getting them a licence or a forklift driver's licence. So they've got that under their belt. So just saying, cut benefit numbers, it doesn't mean anything if you're not just about driving more people into marginalisation and poverty, and we're desperately trying to avoid that.
Finally, there's been an ongoing debate recently about conversion therapy. As the Justice Minister, is this something that you would like to see banned?
Yeah, look, I'm obviously totally sympathetic to that. It's a nasty, insidious, deeply kind of prejudiced, discriminatory sort of activity. The difficulty is trying to draft a law or a regulation that distinguishes between something that could be legitimate kind of, whether it's religious or other kind of social outreach activity, and what then goes into, questioning and delegitimising somebody's sexuality, knowing that, look, it's not a choice that somebody makes, it's who they are. And that's I think, what the regulation draft are struggling with. How do you define it and draw a distinction between it?
But, I mean, I recognise that there is that difficulty, but surely we know it's bad, so why not get on and work out what that difference is?
Yeah, I mean, and there's been sort of work on it. I mean, we do have a part of our work plan for next year's a review of key parts of the Human Rights Act. And so we'll probably wrap it up into that program in terms of discriminatory activity. But again, the difficulty is how do you define and distinguish it and write a law that doesn't then mean that, an outfit, whether it's a church or non-religious organisation, offering support for somebody coming out or going through their kind of sexuality journey, doesn't get caught up in trying to regulate against those outfits that are about trying to challenge the legitimacy of people's identity. And it's a fine line to draw.
But surely we know if it's a group supporting people, then it's not conversion therapy, isn't it? Isn't it quite a black and white distinction if it's a group that's actively trying to change people's sexuality, which is not possible or not a thing, then that would be classified, and if it's something that's trying to help people, it's not.
There's a very black and white thing area, which is an outfit that holds itself out of saying we will cure you, we will change you. Yep, that's wrong. If it's an outfit that says we want to support you and help you, and then in the course of that, whether they intend it or whether the person they're trying to support interprets what they're doing as trying to change them, that's where it gets difficult. And that's the challenge we're up against.
Do you agree with the Prime Minister's classification that it can be religious freedom?
Given that I know there's some of the groups about who these people are saying, this is just gay conversion therapy wrapped up in kind of religious dogma. There is a question of religious freedom there, because Not that I don't accept the argument that it is a matter of religious freedom to allow an outfit to go and say we will convert you and, you know, pray away the gay sort of thing. But there are kind of fundamentalist religions who will espouse a set of values that can be interpreted as saying we don't tolerate some types of sexuality. Then you get into, and they're not necessarily trying to convert anybody, they're, you know, they're expressing an intolerance. Now, some of that might cross over into contravening the discriminatory aspects of the Human Rights Act. Other parts might not. And so this is the kind of grey area that you get into.
All right, Minister. Well, thank you very much for your time. I'll be on time next week, I promise.
Indeed, no problem.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
Yes, that.